I'm good.
Hello, this is the Love Letter Squad. I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen. And we are here with another wonderful guest and wonderful story. And this, as our regular listeners know, is really a half hour about gratitude. Gratitude and appreciation and love, and as they are all wound together as a rule, this is what we are about. We are encouraging the world to put all that love and gratitude and appreciation on paper, write it, stamp it, and mail it, and make somebody else's life richer.
Well, you still have the chance.
Yes, say what you feel while you still have the chance is so important. Yes. So we're going to go to our guest today, Dorothy Atkins, who is the owner of her own business called From Where I Sit. And Dorothy, if you don't mind, I'd like you to start with that because it was so interesting reading about that.
Well, actually,
how it came about and all.
Actually, I was a banker for about 25 years, and I rode into the city on BART. And I had a little prayer that I'd always say every time I sat on the train. I'd say, oh, dear God, I am a creator. I'm an artist. I'd love to have my own studio. I'm in the wrong job. I always would say that. I'd sit on the train and say that out loud, and sometimes the other passengers would just sort of look at me.
Uh-huh. And then did they move their seats?
They would just sort of look at me like the weird woman on the train. Uh-huh. And after about 15, 20 years of riding back and forth into San Francisco to my job, my boss called me in one morning and said, your job is going away.
Ouch.
He said, you can take a package or retire or go to Arizona. I didn't want to do any of those because my family is here. But let me just digress a little bit. On
Please.
The train, I would write stories and I draw because I always had a creative side. And this is why the prayer was about I need to have my own studio.
Sure.
Because I would often draw and write letters and whatever. And when he said that, I looked up in the ceiling and I just thought, my prayer is being answered today. But I mm-hmm. said out loud to him, God, this wasn't the day that I wanted it to happen.
Why?
I've got bills.
Oh, sure.
You know, I've made no arrangements. I still need to work. And in about 2 seconds, I decided that I would take the package.
Oh, that's going to ask. So the package means you'd get some kind
I
of a
would
severance.
Get a severance package.
Uh-huh.
And I decided that right away.
Good.
And then I thought, what have I done? And I got back into my office, gathered up my things. He said I could go home. It was quite emotional. And I went to Nordstrom's. I bought a new pair of shoes, not on sale.
Good.
And
good
I bought some
you.
Godiva chocolate.
Good girl. That's wonderful.
And I decided to go home.
Uh-huh.
And when I got home, I said, well, here's my opportunity to have my own creative space. To do my artwork.
Were you numb at all in there? I mean,
I was. It was like I was having an out of body experience,
uh-huh.
but I was more like talking to God about, is this the prayer being answered today?
Certainly would seem so.
You know, and I thought maybe I should have put parameters around it. And so I went home and I started to think about the years that I had collected material and written things and drawn and had a plan and a wish book and a hope chart. That I had just created all these years, and I sat down, and from that moment, I decided to start my business. And I used to sit and say, well, from where I sit, and then would write little vignettes on the train.
Wonderful.
And I named it From Where I Sit.
Now, how did that translate into a business? What does it do? I mean, what does...
Well, I always liked greeting cards, and I always bought two greeting cards of the same one because they were so pretty. I wanted one to keep and one to send away. And it got to be... like a whole box full of greeting cards that I didn't want to send.
Right.
So I said, well, I'll make a few. I'll draw a few or I'll put a couple of pictures on them and I'll send them out. And I started sending them out to my friends. And my friend said, where did you get these cards?
Oh.
And it just sort of snowballed from there. And I thought, well, this is my niche. I'm enjoying this so much, I'm going to start making my own greeting cards.
No, what do they look like? What do they address?
I took old family photos that were black and white from the early 1800s that I'd collected for years, and I started putting them on a greeting card.
Mm-hmm.
At first with no text, just an old picture, and people loved them. It was my family, my
mm-hmm.
own family.
Mm-hmm. And do you do this for other people, like take their pictures and put them on cards?
Well, I do now a bit,
uh-huh.
but at first it was just my family, and everyone loved them because they were so different. Then I started to add little pearls of wisdom on the bottom that I'd collected. And
under the photograph?
Under the photograph. And it sort of took off with my friends. I only used it with my friends. I'd send it all out to them, and of course they were my support system. They wanted to buy some.
Sure.
They wanted to send some.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, maybe I should market them. But how do I do that? I didn't know. I had no marketing experience, although I had experience in banking. And I decided to go to all the stores that I used to shop in. And I just walked into Filamentos. I don't know if you remember that. It used to be on...
Iris is actually one of my closest friends a show with us ages ago. Yes.
Well, I went into Filamentos with a box that I had just bought, a really nice box. I called her on the phone, talked to her. We only spoke on the phone. And she said, well, drop them off and I'll take a look.
Oh, I'm so,
so
glad to hear
I
that.
Picked a nice box from one of the local art stores, and I put just a few in a box and I took it there. She called me back and she said, I want them. I'm going to put them in the store.
You know something, if they were in her store, I probably have seen them over the years.
But I'm sure you might have.
Yeah. So,
and that's how it started. I never met her face to face, but we had this ongoing friendship with this box.
How wonderful.
She said, we'll take the box back. When you come back, we'll empty it. You take the box back. And then when I need more, bring more in the same box. So that's
now, was
how
that
I
your
started.
First?
That was my second
place.
Well, actually, no, it was my first place.
Mm.
It was my first place in the city.
How exciting.
And that's how it started. And that was one of my best customers. And then I would go to another shop that I shopped in, and I'd do the same thing. And that's how my business started.
And so you're in quite a few stores.
I'm in quite a few stores down in the peninsula. I have cards in Hawaii and Canada.
And you have a website?
I have a website.
That people can go to see where. Why don't you tell us nice and slowly and clearly your website so people can go to it?
It's From Where I Sit.
FromWhereIsit.net.
Perfect.
Yes. And we'll put that on our website.
Yes.
And our blog.
And I also have a blog.
Okay.
It's through Google, and it's dorothypaints.blogspot.com.
Okay. So if people want to, they don't have to just listen to you and lose touch. So now, what would you say the lessons in this are? I mean, I can see so many of them already, but I think they're worth talking about.
Well, I think the lesson for me was that if you believe in something and you're passionate about it, and you can take that fear element out of it, and don't be afraid to take a chance, because all of this was by the seat of my pants.
I mean, once you were thrown into it.
Once I was in it, I was just a novice. I didn't know where I was going, but I believed that it would work.
But what about the part where you prayed every day on the train?
I think divine intervention just stepped in at that point.
And doesn't that also remind you yourself not to lose touch of what you really want to do?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if you say out loud what it is you really want every single day, the chances of you getting swallowed up by the job you don't really want
I think if you believe it, as you said, and if you put it out there, I took another step. I put it out there, and I wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it down for years about what I believed in and what I...
So for years you were reminding yourself
that this,
who you really were and what you really wanted.
Exactly.
But I guess it, I'm sensing that you didn't really know what it was until you started doing it.
I didn't have a clear picture of what it was, but I wrote down things that I'd like to have in my life happen. You know, when you're just sort of daydreaming about what you'd like to be or where you'd like to be. I always did that as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just something I carried on as an adult. And so I wrote it down and I would look at it. I would constantly look at it. And it just started to come to fruition.
Mm-hmm. What was your growing up like? Where did you grow up? What were your parents like?
I grew up in Vallejo.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, they all were storytellers.
Oh.
So my life was built around stories from my grandparents and my parents. And every Sunday, we always had Sunday dinner together. And we sat at the table. And we talked about our dreams and our wants and our desires and our hopes, and we got disciplined at the table, and we got praised,
How nice.
And we got the whole
both.
Gamut.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
And I was allowed to daydream. I was one of those kids that daydreamed and drew while I was making mud cakes.
And appreciate it.
And appreciate it.
And no one told you that that was silly, what you were dreaming.
No. They just, you know, they just knew that I was a dreamer, and they let me do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in an environment that was very conducive to that. Just sit outside and play all day and dream about where twirl.
How,
I know you remember
yes,
twirling.
Yes, of course I do.
Twirling
I
and
do.
Just dreaming. And
twirling in full skirts.
In full skirts,
yeah.
Until you make yourself dizzy.
Yes, then you go the other
and
way.
And then you go the other way to make yourself undizzy.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's how life went. Oh, and I've twirled at the BART station.
Tell me.
I've been at the BART waiting for the train to come, and it's been very long, late, very tired, and I would sometimes just find a little quiet spot and just say, oh, I need to twirl.
Good for you.
I just need to twirl,
so
and
you,
I would
you stay
twirl.
In touch with what you need all the
yeah,
time.
I said, I just need to twirl, and I would twirl just a little bit, not too much.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to fall off the platform or get arrested.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. So I just sort of carried that attitude. My parents were like that. They were very encouraging about things that you wanted to do, and life was simple.
Yes.
It was simple.
Really
it was
nice.
Simple to dream.
Now, you also mentioned something when we first spoke that really, of course, touched me, about having a pen pal.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about, because we are so obviously committed to the beauty of writing letters.
I had a pen pal as a child, maybe in about the fourth grade.
How did you get that pen pal?
It was a school project,
mm-hmm.
and the teacher said, would you like to write to someone that lives far away? And I raised my hand, and I said yes. And it turned out to be a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And far away was somewhere like Mississippi.
Oh, really far away?
Yeah, far away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote to him for years and years.
Oh. So you grew up together in a way.
Yes. And then he sort of dropped out of sight, but I always wrote letters. I wrote letters to my friends. I wrote letters to my parents. I just love to write letters.
Yes.
And it's just something that stuck with me. How wonderful to get something in the mail.
That's what we say.
How wonderful is
yeah.
that?
And it always was. I mean, even, it always was, because there was a time when writing letters was it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right past smoke signals.
Exactly.
And that was it. So that was the only way people could stay connected.
And just the anticipation of a letter.
Yes, and seeing something handwritten, mm-hmm. envelope,
mm-hmm.
in your pile of mail, which probably wasn't much.
No.
In the early 1900s. I mean, you'd get a letter or two or nothing.
But it's always been just a joy to get a letter.
So who are your pen pals now?
After I started my business, somehow Victoria Magazine got a hold of one of my cards, and they ran an article in their magazine and made me the entrepreneur of the month. And so there was a lot of response from that, and a woman in Canada wrote to me and wanted to know how she could find my cards.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I can send you a few. So I sent her some and wrote a letter back to her. She got them. She sent me a letter back. I wrote her back again. She wrote me back again.
Mm-hmm.
And this started a long friendship since 1999.
Mm.
Even though you could pick up the phone and talk to her on the phone. Right?
I could have. But we
kept emailed her.
Or emailed.
Or texted her.
But we both love the yes. art of writing.
That's what it is, the art
it
of it.
It was the art of writing. And just the anticipation of getting a letter and sending one
uh-huh.
was just fabulous.
That constant sending presents back and forth.
Exactly, exactly. And we became, I want to say like sisters,
mm-hmm.
because you share things that you were comfortable to say.
Now, are you more comfortable saying things sometimes on paper than you would be face-to-face because you're just by yourself and you're writing to someone you trust?
I think so. I think so. I think you're more inclined to share your heart or share your real self because it seems so non-threatening.
Yes.
And it's so easy to tell someone that you care about them on a piece of paper, whereas some people might be uncomfortable to say that.
There you
that.
Go. Exactly. And, or to receive it.
Or to receive it.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about what people are shy to receive in a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people are shy because you're not standing there waiting for them to say something.
No. I just pour my heart out.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I talk about everything, and so does she. And it's become a friendship that has just involved my whole family, my friends, because we've talked about people,
yes.
and
oh.
she knows about my life, I know about hers. Wonderful.
Have you ever met face to face?
You know, after about 4 years, I decided to go to Canada, mm-hmm. and with my husband, who's supportive of everything that I do, and we went, and I told her I was coming to Canada on a vacation, and she said, please come by, I'd like to meet you. Well, as we were approaching her house, I thought, what if she doesn't like me?
But she already does.
Yeah, but it was just like, what if, you know, now we're going to meet in person, and what if we're just total
not chemistry,
and it doesn't work? And so she later told me she was feeling the same way.
How interesting. I never would have thought that.
Yeah, she was like, and we loved each other through the letters, and it was very easy, but to meet someone, and then once we met, we knew immediately that it was a perfect match. Mm-hmm. And I had brought a gift for her, and I gave it to her, and she said, I have a gift for you. And she gave me this bag, and when we opened it, we almost gave each other the exact same things.
Wow.
So it's been wonderful. It's been an experience that I think everyone should share.
Through letter writing. There's a magic to it.
It is.
You know, I just had another question which kind of flew out of my head, but I'm so touched by this. Oh, I know what it was. So do you have extended family?
I do. I have extended family that I'd like to say all over the country.
Well, I'm talking about younger people.
Oh, younger people?
Yes.
I do. I have nieces and nephews.
Okay.
And I actually write to my niece, who is, I think she's 11 or 12. I'm her pen pal. And she lives down in Southern California. But she likes to write to me.
Because you write back.
And I write back.
Yes.
And she likes to decorate it.
Yes.
And I decorate my envelope.
Okay, we talk about that endlessly. Like that, the envelope is the gift wrap for this present.
It absolutely is.
And if you're an artist, you have it built in.
Oh, I paint on it.
Yeah, how
exciting. I think I get just as excited about decorating the envelope and putting stickers on it and messages.
Yes, and you're doing a real favor for some of the letter carriers, because I once asked a couple what they liked to deliver. And I asked one woman who was a mail carrier, and I said, what do you like to deliver? And she lit up, and she just was glowing, and she said, I like to deliver anything with children's handwriting or to children or that has stickers or drawings on the envelope. And she was just, she knew what she was there for. She knew what her job was, to keep people connected in love, mm-hmm. not to be the beast of burden for the catalog companies.
Right. Right.
And she was just so happy to talk. So that's what they. So you're doing them a favor also, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And the little post office that I mail my packages and my letters to, they'll say, oh, a letter to Canada.
Oh.
Well, and so they
intimacy
get excited.
All the way around.
They get excited. Or if I get a package and it's at the post office and I go up to pick it up and they say, you have a package from Canada.
And you know something, I remember very clearly that that's what letter carriers used to do. The mailman used to, as they were approaching you, tell you who your letter was from.
Exactly.
They were part of your mm-hmm. love life and mm-hmm. your intimate life. They were the important messenger. And but I was thinking about all these letters that you're writing back and forth, and there obviously people are keeping them.
Yes.
And because someday, right now, of course, but let's say in 100 years, the collection of these letters all the way around is going to be a really important piece of history and what life was mm-hmm. in 2009 and 10 and 1997 and whatever it is.
I keep mine tied with a little glow-green ribbon.
Of course you do.
In the order of how I got them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she goes a step further. She keeps a scrapbook of the things that I've sent her.
Your pen pal.
My pen pal. And so she has like a scrapbook of all the events that I've gone to or that I've told her about, and she keeps that, and I do the same.
And so someday the young people are going to know where to find each of you and put these together and something.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So what is it you brought today?
Well,
I can see you started to write something.
I actually have two pieces. When I started my business, I used my friends to sort of launch it,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote them all. I'm a letter writer.
Yeah, so I'm so happy.
If you don't mind, I'll just...
No, we'd like you to read them.
Okay. I said, greeting once again, because I'd written them before about my adventure,
mm-hmm.
and I said, just a brief note from where I sit. Because of the tremendous support from my family and friends, my journey to seeing my dreams come true has been eventful and joyous. Today, my vintage photo cards and my art cards are now being sold in 4 locations. If you are in the area, do stop by to browse and shop. I am sure you will be pleased and delighted as I am. If you want a more personal touch, come by my place for a personal viewing. I promise a warm cup of tea or something cold, and at times a home-baked goodie or two. In addition, you are guaranteed lots of laughter and joy. I'm still just plunging into this with a beginner's mind, and it is quite humorous. Many thanks again. All of you have been stepping stones. Believe in everything. You are always on your way to a miracle. And that, I sent it all out to my friends.
Wonderful. Okay, let's talk about that for a minute, because Teresa and I so often say that a love letter is about the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a really, this is a thank you note, which is certainly a kind of love letter. And although it's about what you're doing, you've made it very clear that your success has been because of them. Yes.
Absolutely.
So it is about them ultimately, and you're promising them something.
Yes.
And an offering.
And they've been so supportive, I couldn't do it without them.
Yes.
So that was just my way of staying in touch.
Lovely.
And then
now what about your other one?
I started a letter to my friend, and her name is Vivianne.
The one in Canada.
In Canada. Mm-hmm. And this is, I haven't completed it, but just this is where I am so far. It just said, "My dear Vivian, today your welcomed letter arrived with all its glory. It was full of great articles, and I enjoy so much your wonderful, interesting tidbits. Through you, I have learned so much about Toronto, and I'm so glad that we got to meet in person. I know that I have said this on numerous occasions. I'm glad that you're in my life. I cannot imagine a day without thinking of something to share to you. You made me smile when you said how excited you get when preparing a package to mail to me. I feel the same. The moment I pop a letter or a bonus note, as we call them, in the mail, I get that happy feeling thinking of your receiving it.
Yes.
My little neighborhood post office has shared in this journey. They often say, oh, a letter to Canada. You have touched so many people here, and we all love you. It is so meaningful to me how we have been able to become a family. Forgive that I am again writing so fast and somewhat messy, but I am preparing for a few more events coming up and want to make sure I get a letter off to you this week.
Oh, that's just beautiful, because that last note is, my life is busy, but you come first.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And isn't
yes.
that a love letter?
Yes. And it's just, it's inspiring.
Yes. So I thought of another one, and I don't like to be the love letter police, and I try not to do that. But Iris Fuller, Filamento, at this stage in your life, you're so successful.
I don't know how to reach her.
I do.
Oh, see, this is what I mean about divine intervention.
And, by the way, I happen to know that one of the things that makes her happiest, and she still talks about it, is the people who started out with her who have become successes on their own.
Oh,
it makes her happier than anything.
I'd love to write her.
She talks about a lot of them.
I'd love to write her a
letter. I'm going to email you her address.
Yes, I'm going to put in a pitch. Please go back to our website, www.lovelettersquad.com, and search on Iris, and you will find her love letter that she recorded here on this program. She wrote a love letter to Filamento, her store, and it's one of our all-time most favorite programs.
Oh, by the way, it had us both in tears.
All three of us were in tears.
I'm just speechless, because that was my beginning.
See how we're meant to be together?
I'm just speechless. But I believe that.
I believe that when you
put it out in the universe, that love and that caring.
Yes.
And it might sound corny, but when you put it out there, it just wraps itself around you.
Yes. I don't think it sounds corny at all.
You know,
I think
it does. It wraps yourself around you, and it just engulfs you.
Yes.
And I believe that to my core.
And she said to me, she said, I don't know if you'll like this or not, but the love letter I want to do. And I said, you know, I'm not the love letter police. It's yours. I don't. And she said, I want to write a letter to my store. She was my best friend, and I miss her. This is five years after the store had closed.
Oh, my God. And see, I've never met her. That's the beauty of this. It was just that box.
You will.
You'll meet her.
We'll make sure you do.
How wonderful.
You'll love each other.
How wonderful.
Well, it does come around. So I have two things that I want to add. One is, Dorothy, we found you because of something that appeared on the web, and my daughter Molly, who's always on the lookout for love letter things for us, she found you for us. So my daughter Molly lives in New York, it all comes around.
Yeah.
And the second thing, I have a question for you. I'm just so in agreement with you about the decorating the envelopes, and I know Janet talks about this all the time, and you draw things. And there are those stickers that you can buy and stick on things, but what if you're not a great artist? How do you festoon an envelope so that it's
a gift wrap.
You know what? If you're not a great artist, everybody can draw wiggly lines mm-hmm. or circles or X's or boxes and fill them in. I'm a mature woman, and I carry around Crayolas in my purse.
Mm-hmm.
And you can decorate it with that, or you can just get stars and put on it, or any kind of little Post-its that you can find. If you can't find stickers, you can create it all. But I decorated a box to Vivianne in Canada, and I painted it mm-hmm. with acrylics all around the wrapper and made my own wrapper. And the post office just loved it. And they said, will you do this for someone else? And I said, sure, I'll do this. She said, I want you to do it for my grandson. So I painted a box for her.
There's a little side business business.
And she said, so you can decorate it with anything. You can, if you don't have the talent to draw, just any kind of squiggly. I write messages on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
yeah.
I forget to say something, and I said, and by the way, it's 35 degrees in whatever, and I'll write it on the other side. Once I wrote on one of my envelopes, and I said, dear letter carrier, thank you for getting this to Vivian. And she said her letter carrier was just, he was so tickled. He said, he says to her, letter from the U.S., and they say letter from
Canada.
And
you can see how one letter or a series of letters brings the world together in a calm, loving, happy, unfrightened manner. In this insane world in which we live right now, letter writing is going to do magic.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
And I want to keep it going.
Good for you.
I want to keep it going.
I'm so glad we met. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you a million times.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you very much. And we thank our listeners, too, and hope you've enjoyed this program. In fact, we hope you listen to all of our programs. We're here every week at this time. And we're also on the web. Let me say the website again, because you can go back and listen to all of our past programs at www.loveletterssquad.com. Janet will spell that for you.
I love doing that part. LoveLetterSquad. SQUAD.com. And the only reason I like to spell it is in this world of internet, if you get one letter wrong, we'll never see you.
Right. And you'll never see us.
And we want you to see us. We want to see you.
So also send us letters through email is fine.
And if you have anything to share, we have a column on theexaminer.com. And if you have love letter questions that you like answered, how to say something that may be tricky, let us know, and we'd love to feature you on our column.
And our blog, our website blog.
And our blog, too.
So time for us to sign off. Again, Dorothy, thank you so much for this wisdom that you shared with us today. And we all thank you all for joining us again. We encourage you to put your loving thoughts into words and send them while you still have the chance.
Yes, and you can see that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So till next time, from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.